The book of Judges, chapter 9, commencing to read at verse 39. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Aramah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass in the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they took Abimelech, or they told Abimelech, and he took the people and divided them into three companies, laid wait in the field, and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Bereth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech got him up to the Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder. Said unto the people that were with him, what ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. And all the men likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire upon them. So that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. Then went Abimelech to Thebez, and encamped against Thebez, and took it. And there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower, and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer, said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that thou wilt bless us even as we listen to thy word. We pray that thou wilt challenge us afresh and speak to our hearts and teach us once again, even from the story that we have read in thy precious truth. O God, I ask in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt minister to our hearts and challenge us through thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wonder this morning, if God was to call you and me away, what testimony would we leave behind? What would be the testimony that would be in your family? What would be the testimony among your friends or your workmates if you this week, this day, was to be taken home to glory? Friend, I want us to see indeed the reality, the sad testimony that was left behind of a man called Gideon. Last Lord's Day we spoke about him, and Gideon has died. But friend, he has left a testimony behind. He has left an influence behind him. And I want us to see just exactly the influence that Gideon has left behind, because we come to a son called Abimelech. And the chapter 9, I read it through this morning because I believe that in this chapter 9 of the book of Judges, we have important points that the Spirit of God certainly has challenged my heart concerning, and I pray that the Spirit of God will challenge yours. The first thing I want you to notice is Abimelech's desire. Abimelech's desire. Remember last Lord's Day we read of Abimelech, his name meant, "My father is king." Now of course Gideon is dead, and Israel has gone whoring after Balaam, and they have made Baal-Berith their god. And instead of leaving a glorious testimony behind at the end of his days, we find that indeed Gideon leaves 70 sons of his wives, and also a son of his concubine, whose name is called Abimelech. And this story is based around Abimelech, the son of Gideon. You see, Abimelech wages a campaign here in this 9th chapter because he has a desire to be king. Now, of course, you remember what the Word of God tells us earlier on in the previous chapter, that Gideon says, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you." He knew it wasn't the purpose and plan of God that one of his sons would rule over him. But when we come to the 9th chapter, Gideon is dead, and Gideon has left his sons behind. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 9 and verse 1, "And Abimelech the son of Zerubbabel went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren, and communed with them and with his family of the house of his mother's father, saying, Whither is better for you, either that all the sons of Zerubbabel, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you? Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." And so therefore he goes to Shechem with this full intent that he will become king, even though God desired him not to be king. You see, the sad reality is this, that whenever this lad was born, I believe that you will find that the Bible tells us that whenever Gideon was the father of these children, we'll find that Gideon was in a backslidden state. And that's a sad reality, because the testimony that Gideon had left with his sons was this, that he lived in a backslidden state. And because of it, he had no godly influence. But instead we find that he had taken the ephod, and the Israel had went a whoring after it. And therefore Gideon had lost his testimony. He had given a testimony and an influence of a backslidden father unto his children. And the tragedy of the story of chapter 9, I believe it's because that a father lost a godly influence. Maybe there's someone here today and think that you're living to yourself. Maybe you think this morning it doesn't matter whether you're in tune with God and in fellowship with God and communion with God or not. My friend, listen, you leave an influence. Your life is making a mark and will make a mark this week. And will either make a mark for God, or that backslidden story of your life will reap a tragic harvest. Maybe in your family, maybe in your sons and your daughters. Friends, it is so important to be in touch with God. I was thinking, you know, of Lot this week. Lot was a man who went down into Sodom, and he desired the rich pastures of Sodom. And he looked upon the fields, and he said, "There's a good place for my cattle, and I want to bring the cattle there because it's the richest pasture of it all." Friend, let me tell you, not only did Lot bring his cattle there, but he brought his children there. And friend, it may have been a lush pasture for his cattle, but it was a tragedy for his family. Because remember, whenever God told Lot to get up out of the city and take his wife and his family, and he went to his sons-in-law and he told them of the judgment of God that was coming, the Bible says that his sons-in-law mocked him. Why did they mock him? Because he had no testimony. Because he was backslidden. Because his eyes had got upon earthly things and he had lost out with God. And Lot, my friend, reaped a very sad and tragic harvest because of his sin. And so it is that the backslider will reap a sad harvest because that influence is lost for God. And here we find that Gideon has no testimony. And when he dies, his sons continue in that ungodly state. And Abimelech, he moves from Ophrah to Shechem, that city that had been taken over with Baal worship and Baal culture. And indeed, here was God's child, or the son of God's child, Gideon. And where was he? He was sitting down, immersing himself in the falseness of this place, Shechem, of false worship and false culture. And here was him feeling comfortable amongst the enemies of God. Oh friend, you know, when he settles amongst them, he makes a proposal. He wants to talk to them. You see, that's the reason why he came. He wants to get himself in the picture. And so he says to them, he said, listen, tell me which would be better. Would it be better that the 70 sons of Gideon would rule over you, the sons of his wives? Or would it be better for me to rule over you? Because remember, and then he puts this last wee phrase in, remember, he says, also that I am your bone and your flesh, the end of verse 2. And so he reminds them, in other words, he says, you know, I'm one of you. I'm just like you. I'm just one of you. And of course, he makes it clear that he wants to be the king. And so in verse number 3 it says, his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. That was Abimelech's desire. But it was a desire of the flesh. It was a desire to put himself in the picture. It was a desire to exonerate and uplift and honor man. God was nowhere in this picture at all. But of course, not only is there desire, then we find there's his design. He has to plan it out. He has got to further his desire. He has got to achieve his end. And so therefore he comes to his men in verse number 4 and says, and they give him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired Dian and light persons which followed him. Friend, I was just thinking about it. Here's a son of Gideon. Man whom the word of God says the Spirit of God clothed himself with Gideon. A man who was called by the Spirit of God, thou mighty man of valor. A man that was greatly used of God in the past, that fought the battle against the Midianites and scattered them. And here we see his son. And we see his son reaching forth his hand, and he takes money from the temple of Baal. And he goes to the worshippers of false gods with the intent to finance his campaign. And methinks that the enemies of God are laughing. Such a mighty man has stooped so low. The son of a mighty man has stooped down into the gutter. And the enemies of God are laughing. Oh, I have no intent whenever they handed the money over to Abimelech, they intended that their money would have rich dividends. They did it for their own ends. They weren't doing it, my friend, to exonerate or to uplift or to honor one of Gideon's sons, not at all. But they intended that their contribution would bring a satisfactory reward for them. So he gathers around him, it says in verse 4, he hired vain, empty, and light persons. The word light there is boiling over, hot-headed, hasty people. And so he hires these people to follow company with him. They're not the company, friend, that's going to bring blessing. They're the company that's going to bring bloodshed. You say birds of a feather flock together. And Abimelech is seeking to elevate himself, and therefore he's happy. He's happy whatever it takes to establish his kingdom. He doesn't care what the cost. He doesn't care about the bloodshed, as long as he himself is uplifted. Look what happened in verse 5. He went and he took the other sons of Gideon. You see, he saw them as a threat. They were the sons of Gideon's wives. And he took the 70 sons, and the Bible says he slew them upon one stone. One stone. He gathered round himself there in Shechem. He gathered round him these evil men. These being these empty, these hot-headed, these boiling over men. And they slay the 70 sons of Gideon to get rid of the opposition in a sinful and cruel way. You know, there are people today, because of ambition, they'll do anything. There's people to get on in this world, friend. They'll do anything to get on in this world. To make money, they'll do anything. It doesn't matter what has to go. It doesn't matter what the corners are cut. They'll do anything to get it their way. And so it was with Abimelech. And look at verse number 6, and it says, "And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king." There he got his desire. He got what he wanted. Then let me tell you, when you get what you want, sometimes it brings nothing but heartache. When you put the desire of the flesh first, and maybe you get the position, you get what you want, maybe you get the possessions that you want, you say, "Well, listen, I'm satisfied. I've made it now." Yet when you read the rest of the story, instead of bringing him happiness, instead of bringing him joy, instead of bringing him blessing, it brought him bloodshed. It brought him heartache. Even with his evil desires, and then an evil design, he takes his brothers, 70 brothers, and he slays them upon one stone. You know, he thinks that he has arrived, that somehow that he has got what he wants. But friend, there's something in this story. That whilst he has got the outward appearance, he has got what he wants. They made him king. Yet friend, God's not in this. And God's going to scatter his kingdom. This is not of God. You know, people today, they want their sin. They want their sin, they desire their sin more than anything else. They say, "Well, listen, if I could only get my sin and get all of the sin that I want, it'll bring me happiness." Friend, let me tell you, God will scatter your sin. God will scatter your sin because God's not in the story, and God's going to scatter your sin someday and bring the judgment. Let's go on in the story quickly. Look at Abimelech's description here. Because whilst all of what happens here, the men follow him, and he gets his desire, and he gets his design, yet God's going to bring him down. Look at verse number 5. It says, "And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and he slew his brethren, the sons of Zerubbabel, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding." Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Zerubbabel, was left, for he hid himself. You see, Abimelech desired to wipe all the opposition out. He was surely, he had got it made, he had it the way he wanted. There was no opposition, there was no impossible of the sons of Gideon to steal away the hearts of the people. And yet he missed one. I don't know whether he knew it or not, he missed one, because he had been carried away. And I suppose whenever you're slaying upon one stone and you're carried away, because these are men that are hasty, these men are hot-blooded, these men are carried away just with the lust for blood, and one after the other, they put them on the stone. I'm not sure whether they stood and counted them or not, but I'll tell you one thing. God said they missed one. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Zerubbabel, was left. And you know, they had their celebration after they finished, and everything seemed to be working out lovely. And they're having a mighty celebration, and then all of a sudden, standing there up upon a big rock in Mount Gerizim, up there, 800 feet above them, there stood one lonely figure. His name was Jotham. This young man that God had preserved and is God's faithful servant to pronounce God's judgment. And he stands upon Mount Gerizim, and the Bible says, he cries out, look at verse 7, and he said, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." And then he tells him a parable. And in this parable, there is Abimelech's description. You know, this is the first parable in the Bible. The first recorded parable. It's an earthly story. It's an earthly illustration that people were familiar with, but he wants to teach them a spiritual truth. And he tells them the parable of the trees. And it says in verse number 8, the trees went forth in a time to anoint a king over them. And they said, they went to the olive tree, and they asked the olive tree, they said to the olive tree, "Will you reign over us? Will you be king over us?" But the olive tree said, "You know, can I or should I leave my fatness?" In other words, I'm producing the necessities of life. I'm doing something precious here. Should I leave the doing something that's precious and valuable here to become your king? The olive tree said, "No, I'm not interested." And then they go to the fig tree. And the fig tree says, "Should I forsake what God has willed and purposed me for?" It says in verse number 11, "But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit?" In other words, I'm bearing fruits. "Should I leave my fruit bearing just to become your king? Should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?" And so the fig tree says, "No, I'm not willing to do that." And then they go to the next tree, they go to the vine. And they ask the vine, "Will you rule over us? We want to promote you, vine." Now friend, let me tell you this, of course, the vine could remember this. I've been asked because those other two turned it down. But you know, the vine didn't think about that. The vine said, listen, look at verse number 13. "And the vine said unto him, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoted over the trees?" In other words, should I leave them, the making people glad and fulfilling the gift and the office that God has given me? Should I forsake my calling just for promotion? And the vine said, "No, I'm not willing to do it." And then they said to the bramble, that old thorny bush, not a mighty tree, not an upstanding tree, but just an old bramble bush, that old prickly shrub that was good for nothing, that one which just covered the ground, friend. The useless bramble. And they said to the bramble, "Will you be the ruler over us? We want to promote you. Will you rule the trees?" Of course, the old useless bramble was a picture of Abimelech. It was a description of the old, useless, worthless, ruthless Abimelech. The poorest of all the sons of Gideon. And they said, "Will you rule over us?" Notice what he says to them, verse 15. "And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." And the old bramble bush, friend. And here we find is the story of what happens in the rest of this chapter. There's fire going to come out of this bramble, friend, and I'll tell you this. They exalt him, they put him, and they make him king, but it'll end in tears. it'll end in heartache. And if you go down to verse number 20, it says, but if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the house, or the men of Shechem and the house of Millo. And let fire come out of the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. And fire's going to come out of Abimelech and fire's going to come out of the house of Shechem. And they're going to destroy one another. Why? Because this wasn't of God. And Jotham stood up on the top of that rock, friend. And he shouted out to the people and he gave them a parable. In other words, he gave them a warning of the judgment that would fall upon them. That fire would come and consume them and that it would end in tears. And in one simple little parable, Jotham stripped away with an unpopular message. He warned of judgment to come, and then verse 21, and then he ran away. He ran away. I know time's away this morning, but the rest of the story tells about Abimelech's demolition. Because if you look in verse 22, everything's going fine. It says this, Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. Everything's going fine. And then look at verse 23. Then God. Then God. And maybe, friends, let me tell you, everything's going fine in your life. You're walking in rebellion against God. Maybe you're living in sin and you're saying, listen, I've heard the preacher say so many times, your sin will find you out and God's going to bring you to an end of your sin. And you say, but listen, preacher, I don't believe that because look at me. Look at me! I've heard the preacher say, listen, you be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But listen, the preacher's telling lies! Because look at me! I've got away with it! Or I'm getting away with it! Nobody can stop me! Nobody will stop me in getting my way. Listen, I want to be king of my life. I want to do it my way. And I live as I like and I'll do what I want. And neither God nor man can stop me. Listen, two words. Then God. Friend, let me tell you this. For 3 years, Abimelech got what he thought was life, living it with a capital L, because he wanted to be king, and he was king. They made him king. They'll never turn on me. They'll never stop me now. I've got what I want. Then God. And I'll tell you, you read the rest of the story, friend, because if you think that sin will pay, you're a fool. If you think that God doesn't mean it when he says your sin will find you out, the devil's fooling you. If you think that, my friend, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, let me tell you, it's not true, preacher, because I have proved it. I can get away with my sin. I can do what I want. I can live as I like. I can rebel against God, and neither God nor man will be able to do anything about it, because I have proved you can be rebellious. I have proved that you can live as you want to live. I have proved that you can live in sin and still prosper. Then read the end of the story. After those two words, then God. Then God sent an evil spirit. In 3 years, everything's going pretty good, friend, until God steps in and, listen, let me tell you, Abimelech's sin is going to find him out and he's going to reap the harvest. Because he slew the 70 of his brothers on one stone. But God stepped in. Remember, though man may think, you know, he reigns. Though man may think that he's the boss, let me tell you, every one of us in this service this morning, the preacher and every hearer, we are under the government of God, friend. And the next verses prove that great biblical truth. The way of the transgressor is hard. And it's going to come. Get ready for it, sinner. It'll come. And what you find in the rest of this story, and I wish I had time to go into it, and it's very difficult to pick this story up again, friend, in another message, but you read it for yourself. Things start falling apart. And then different people come into the story. Gaul comes into the story. And you know, this man Gaul, he starts to challenge the authority of Abimelech. You know, this didn't happen before. You see, one moment, Abimelech's the greatest. He's the greatest, he's the king. And friend, then, something's happening here because he's been cast aside as nothing more than trash. And verse number 29, it says, or verse number 29. And would to God that this people were under my hand. This is God speaking. Then would I remove Abimelech. This is the mighty king. Look at verse 28. And God said, the son of Eba said, who is Abimelech? Who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Zerubbabel? And Zebel, his officer, served the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. For why should we serve him? Here's rebellion. His world's starting to fall apart. And he challenges, in verse 29, increase thine army, Abimelech, and come out and fight. There's a man standing there, his name is Zebel. And Zebel hears this and he sends a message to Abimelech and he warns him of this. He better come and sort it out. And so Abimelech comes by night and he lies in the field until the morning. And then Gaal gets up in the morning and he stands in the gate of the city and he's looking out. And as he's looking out there and he's stretching himself, he notices he sees things moving up there in the mountains. And he says, you know, there's men up there in the mountains. And now Gaul's beginning to shake. And he said, listen, I see men. But Zebel says, no. Hey, listen, you only think it's men. It's the shadow of the mountain. And they're only looking like men. Of course, he's lying. And then Gaul says, it is men. There are men there. Go down to verse 38, and it says, then said Zebel unto him, where is now thy mouth? In other words, listen, where's your big mouth now? Where's your big mouth now? And the Abimelech's men are now just coming upon Gaul, and they have a fight, friend. And Gaul comes down, or the Abimelech comes down, and he slays the people, and he scatters the people, and chases. And then verse number 40, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entrance of the city. And the men run, you see, they run into a tower there at Shechem, into the god of Beeroth. And Abimelech, he gets a bough of a tree, and he cuts it down. And he tells the rest of the men with him, he says, you do likewise as I have done. And then they light the boughs of the tree, and they set the place on fire, and 1,000 men and women were burned up there in that tower of Shechem. Verse 49, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. You see, hold on a wee second, I thought you said that Abimelech's life's falling apart here. I think he's getting on quite well, is he not? He's willing. Just wait, friend, to the end of the story. And now he gets carried away with himself. You see what is happening there? As he lights that fire, friend, the fire is burning. Isn't that what Jotham, the parable, talked about? The fire coming out of Abimelech. And the fire is burning. And then when you go from the verses 46 To verse number 49, yes, you find that the fire is burning in the tower of Shechem and all the people are destroyed. And then in verse number 50, the fire burns on and he comes to Thebes and he camps against Thebes and he takes it. And he's getting carried away and the lust for blood is getting so great. And men run and they hide themselves there in Thebes. And they shut themselves up in another tower and they go away to the top of it. But you see, Abimelech, verse 52, came onto the tower and he fought against it and he went hard onto the door. In other words, he's getting careless now. He thinks there's nobody can stop him. And so he doesn't take precautions. He goes right up onto the door. But little does he know that standing up there in that tower, then, there's a woman. And just as Abimelech closes up to the tower, then he comes up to the door, and he's going to take the door, and he's going to take the tower. A woman stands there, and she lifts up this millstone, and she heaves it up, and she drops it. And it falls on his head. And he's lying there, and he's wounded. But he's not dead. And he calls his armor bearer. And he says, don't let the shame be upon me. I'm mighty Abimelech. Don't let the shame be upon me. A woman slew me. He says, friend, take the sword. Don't let me die in disgrace. And he slew him. And let me tell you, to fulfill the desires of the flesh, he was burned up with earthly, fleshly desire that he thought nothing but nothing but nothing could stop. And to fulfill it, he sacrificed everything. And the judgment of God fell. Look at verse 56 as we close. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying the 70 brethren. Listen. He reaped what he sowed. See, God didn't forget. God didn't overlook. God hadn't cast aside this. No. His evil would be judged. And God says, God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel. Thank God for a faithful voice that told it as God had given it. Even though that whenever he told it he had to run, he was faithful to God. And sooner and later, or later, sooner you'll face God in all his glory, in all his majesty and power. You'll stand before God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this morning, realize that this story seems to be going one way, and then thy word simply records, then God sent an evil spirit. No, Heavenly Father, this morning we realize today that Thou canst do all things, for Thou art sovereign. And one day man will stand before Thee and give an account to Thee. And, O God, their sins will stand before them at the judgment if they haven't been brought to the blood. Turn the sinner to Jesus today. Show them our God, the way of the transgressor is hard. Show them today that the wicked man, though he prosper and spread himself as a green bay tree, he'll soon be cut off. Bring the sinner to Christ. Bring the backslider home. And bless your people with power. In Jesus' name.